What you are about to hear is real.
I've been married for 33 years to this one man. And all of a sudden, I'm setting the notion to divorce me.
How did you get that black eye?
He gave it to me.
Well, it looks like he choked you, too.
That's right.
Well, you really took a beating, didn't you?
You're not kidding.
Gosh.
You know, nobody can damn handle me. I don't care who they are. Now, murder them. So help me. I'm just a plain man, good man. Who helped me?
Yeah, I'll be right there, Perk. I have to excuse me, ma'am. We'll get a chance to talk about this later, maybe. Bye. This is Don Reed, police recorder. We're just moving out of headquarters to start the night watch. We'll be working in Detective Unit 5-6. Tonight's crew is Sergeant Ron Perkins, Detective Jim Ross. All dressed in civilian clothes, sport shirts, overcoats. What do you say, Herbie?
Here.
We got 5-6. Well, at the curb, our car, black sedan. Like 1,000 other cars on the road, no identification of the police car. This is Detective Unit 5-6. That woman I was talking to, the people you meet tonight, they're not actors. This is it. This is real. This is Night Watch. You know that woman I was talking to upstairs? I never did get the rest of her story.
What? 5-6 in service.
Control 1-2-5-6-10-4, 6:06 p.m., 5-6 in service on the Night Watch.
I'm sorry, Don. What'd you say?
Well, I never stayed around long enough to find out what charge that woman I was talking to was booked on. She sure took a beating from her husband. How come she's in jail?
Pretty good reason. She stabbed him.
Oh.
Night Watch, the actual on-the-scene report of your police force in action. There are no actors. There is no script. Every voice, every sound is authentic. The investigations are recorded as they actually occur. Night Watch, presented with the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, W.N. Hildebrand, Chief. And now we switch you to Detective Unit 5-6, now on patrol somewhere in the field, and the official police recorder, Don Reed.
Control on the motor 24 and 26 clear, back in service. Control on the car 45T at Westerly and Washington. That's Westerly and Washington. Ambulance traffic, code 3.
Westerly? That's just a couple of blocks back there.
5-6 to Control 1. We're right on that ambulance traffic. We'll stand by till the radio car arrives.
Control 1.
He must have just gone by that corner just a couple of minutes ago. Flipping a U and heading back. Well, normally we don't handle traffic, but apparently we have injuries. Now let's get down there and stand by till the radio car arrives. Should be almost right ahead now. There it is. Several people running.
Where's that way down? Looks like a bad one.
Yeah, I'll check. Well, here's the picture. Curve of the road, heavy sedan smashed up against a telephone pole. I don't see any other cars around. Well, do. Perkins lighting flares. Let's get over to the car. The broken glass appeared to be just ladies in the back seat. There's a man up front sitting upright, dazed, the door thrown off by the impact, lying on the sidewalk. You hurt, ma'am?
I don't know. He's over here somewhere.
All right, ma'am. There's an ambulance rolling.
I think something was broken.
How are you, ma'am?
I don't know. I'm just so scared. My shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Shoulder injured?
My nose is bleeding.
Yeah, well, just stand by. An ambulance is rolling. We'll get right to him. Just relax right there. We'll get right to you in just a moment. How are you? You're pretty badly.
No, I'm okay. Where's my husband?
All right, just stay right here, ma'am. We'll find him. Evidently, there were four people in the car instead of three. Strong smell of alcohol in there. Sergeant Perkins just leaving a victim lying over here in the gutter. Apparently, the husband of the young lady must have been thrown 60, 70 feet by the impact. What have we got around here on this boy?
He's dead.
Bystander, staring in front of car.
Looks like the motor of that thing was driven right back into the front seat, as far as I can see.
Well, that's murder.
Sure is.
Ambulance rolling in. Off in the distance, the opposite direction. Flashing red lights of the district radio car. Ambulance here first.
Doc, there's three in the car over there. There's one over there in the gutter. I think he's a DB. You want to check him out?
Yeah.
Doctor over to check the victim lying in the street. Verify. Coroner will handle. His assistant helping the injured in the car. Let's get over there.
Come on now. Don't worry about it. She's got a bad breathing in her leg.
No, I'm all right. I'm sorry.
Watch. Don't worry.
I can.
Assisting two into the ambulance. Stretcher for the third.
Who's first, huh?
It's all right.
Go ahead, you just get in the car and everything
you get in the car. We're going to take care of
him.
You get down and get taken care of. We're going to take
wife in a state of shock, looking for husband. I haven't told her yet. I have to leave it to the doctor when he gets to the hospital to handle.
Better include that in your report. We'll notify the coroner.
Okay.
You don't need us anymore. We'll see you later. Five, six to control one. On this TA at Westerly in Washington, 4-5-T is handling the accident report. Three of the victims have been sent to the hospital. One is dead on arrival. Will you advise the coroner of that?
Control 1 to 5-6-10-4. We'll notify KMA 394.
Isn't that funny, you know? Even though you don't know too much about life and death, you know, you're not a doctor or something. And then you walk up on something like that, you can just sense the guy is either alive or he's dead.
Liquor involved. I wonder how you can call it an accident.
You are listening to Night Watch and following the activities of Detective Unit 5-6 on its tour of duty. Remember, the people and sounds you are hearing are real, and the investigations are recorded in the field as they actually occur. We'll bring you the final results of tonight's action at the conclusion of Night Watch. And now we switch you back to Detective Unit 5-6, somewhere in the field, and to the official police recorder, Don Reed.
5-6-1, do you have a radio car available in the vicinity of Jefferson and Overland? We'd like to have them assist us in stopping a car we're tailing.
Control 1 to 5-6, stand by.
We're southbound on Jefferson. Been following a car for the last few blocks. Been doing some pretty erratic driving. Being a detective unit, it isn't our job to handle traffic normally, but besides, we're in plain clothes. But there's just something about this car that doesn't look right. There are two male occupants, possibly three. It's just a little bit too far away to be sure. We're checking now to see if we have a uniformed car here in the vicinity. Get them to stop.
Control 1 to 5-6. We have no car in your immediate area. Do you want us to roll one from another district?
5-6, no. We'll handle it.
Control 1 to 5-6. 10-4.
Slipping a red lens over our white smart light. Moving in behind the car. There goes on our red light. There's no sign of them pulling over. They're still going. Now, there's two, three heads just bobbed up. Now they're wheeling into the curb.
I'll cover from the right.
The usual precautions. However, just a routine check. Sergeant Perkins up here on the driver's side.
Free to get out on that side of the car. Please keep your hands out of your pockets. All you roll out the other side of the car.
Three young fellows, late 20s, early 30s, assembling over on the sidewalk. Jim Ross keeping an eye on them. Well, let's have a look in the car.
Might be good burgers. Nice and that, what is it, half-inch? Half-inch crowbar.
Back seat.
Yeah, there's a
crowbar for Jimmy. A flashlight. Bottle of whiskey, half empty. And a box. Could be the lower half of a cash drawer. Had a couple of checks in it.
These are loaded. Yeah?
No. Let's move around the car now. Talk to the first suspect.
How much? How drink? Where are you heading for now? Head for Long Beach and pick up on Wyatt. You got an operator's license? Yeah. So who's the green bag in the back?
Suspect nodding his head.
Where did you get it?
Bought it.
You got a receipt for it?
Okay.
When did you buy it?
About a week ago.
About a week ago? How much you pay for it?
$21.
Have you used it yet?
No, sir.
Have you ever been arrested?
No.
How about you?
No.
How about you?
Yeah.
Three of these, Brandon.
Ross, been checking out the trunk.
All new tools in the trunk. What do you think? Maybe good burgers.
Car register, deal?
Yep.
Is it your name?
Yep.
Burke, I wonder why they'd have two and three of the same kind of tools.
That's a good question. I'm going to run a record check on those guys. Jim, I want to get some answers on those checks in the box. I'll be back in a minute.
Ross, box in hand. Questioning suspects. Let's move in.
Cash box, come here. Well, which one is that?
The one that I took that check out of.
Well, let's see it. I don't even remember.
Two of the suspects examining the box.
Well, that's the one of Gary Paul's, are you, isn't it?
That must have been it. Why would he pawn this box with a check in it?
Well, I don't know. I'll tell you. He pawned the whole sack to me, see, in Palmdale for $20. He's a good friend of mine.
This box had a $5 check in it.
Could I see?
Sure. That check's worth $5. It hasn't been canceled out. Doesn't seem, I mean, just looking at it from my viewpoint, doesn't seem strange to you that a man would pawn all of these tools, which is about $35 to $40 worth of tools alone, for $20, and in the mess there would be a $5 check, which you know nothing about, you've never seen it before. I mean, just from my viewpoint, that seems a little strange.
It does, yeah.
Can you explain it in any way?
No,
okay.
Well, what seems to be the doubt?
Do you want my honest opinion?
Yes, sir.
From what I've seen so far, it looks like you boys have been going into a building and stealing. I mean,
I can't explain that I've accepted these tools under a pawn for $20. I can't prove that.
That's a little difficult for me to believe, I'll put it that way.
Oh, a little difficult. Well, I can prove it. Well, I can get the fellow that pawned them to me.
Well, we may have to do that.
Okay.
Another thing, in your car in the back seat, there's what we call a jimmy. You know what a jimmy is?
A jimmy?
A jimmy.
No, I don't.
A jimmy is usually used in house burglaries where they jimmy a window. It's similar to a crowbar. I'm just pointing out my viewpoint. I'm not calling you a burglar. There is reason to believe that you are, but I'm not calling you. You asked me what I thought, and I'm coming.
Okay.
We'll see how this radio check comes out.
All right.
Jim, can I see that?
Sure.
I'm on a record check on these fellows. They're not wanted for anything. Two of them have got records in the East. Car check's out okay. Belongs to them.
There's something that just doesn't gel right, though, you know?
No, I'll go along with that.
Yeah, we haven't got anything to go on, but let's put the tools and stuff in the car and take them on to the station. We can talk to them there. I got a radio car to transport them in.
Good idea.
Well, we'll take up this discussion again down at headquarters. Could be a very plausible answer to this. We'll have to check it out anyway.
Wait a minute, what's going on? Jim, let him go.
One suspect just jumped in the car and has taken off.
Bring those guys over to the car and put the handcuffs on him.
5-6-1, come in, code 2.
Go ahead, 5-6.
5-6-1, a 459 suspect just took off from us, headed west on Jefferson towards Sepulveda. He's in a 1949 Nash Ambassador, blue in color, license number 2X-ray 53117.
Okay, okay. 2X-ray 53117.
Will you advise
Englewood?
You give me a right wrist. Suspect may be headed for the Long Beach area.
Attempting to follow the suspect. We've lost him in the traffic.
Well notified.
He's got a big head start. Before we can get the two other suspects in the car.
459 suspect in a 1949 Nash.
Control 1 radioing the information to our other units.
53117.
We're off in the back of the two prisoners. We're up front. We can't take up fast pursuit. Too many people in the car. Can't jeopardize the lives of the prisoners. How do you figure he'll turn off on Sepulveda?
Yeah, probably going south. He won't get far. I've got his driver's license and all his identification. The car belongs to him. We'll get him.
Yeah, let's take these guys back to the station.
Well, where I sit, somebody sure got something to hide.
Prison. Got out December 11th in 1946.
46. Been in no trouble since then.
Outside of drunk and disorderly conduct and assault and battery.
Where were you going tonight?
Well, I was going to Long Beach to get my wife and baby.
Why would your brother take off?
I wouldn't know.
Was there any reason for him to take off? Was he hot? Must be, huh?
It don't take even 5 minutes to find it out. You know his name.
Yeah,
anything. Can't you find it out?
Yeah.
You could find out if I'm hot than anybody.
We have a pickup out on your brother. I mean, it'd be very simple if we could notify somebody to have him come in before he gets picked up. Because if he tries to do anything foolish, he's been drinking a little bit, he might get shot.
He ain't hot. He ain't hot no more.
Carrying a bunch of tools in the car, nobody can seem to get straight on the story and any counting of them. And then to check them out, and one of them takes off. Everybody in the spot.
Well, you got the car, so it's up to you guys.
Perkins.
Perkins, this is Robert, Sheriff's Office. We've got your 459 suspect. back in custody.
Oh, great. Where'd you pick him up?
Well, we finally got him just outside of Lenox. He had his wife and youngster with him and was heading south when we finally caught up with him.
The wife and youngster with him, huh? Oh, hold them all. We'll be down there in about an hour, okay?
You can guess what that conversation was. The sheriff's office picked up your brother and had his wife and kid with him. You cool your heels off here. We're going to go down and see him and see what kind of a story he comes up with. Jimmy, you want to stay here and do the reports and take care of him? I'm going to pick up Sergeant Walter and go on down there.
Okay, come on, fella. I'll take you back to your cell.
It's after 3 a.m., and we're located here in the sheriff's substation. It's about an hour's drive away from Culver City. Small interrogation room. Either side of the desk, sergeants Perkins and Walter. And a chair, the suspect had managed to give us the slip earlier in the evening.
42-month big time, huh?
Short, stocky, unshaven. Heavy scar across his cheek.
In Tennessee?
Yes.
How was it?
Pretty rough.
This little electric drill that was in the car, where did it come from?
I bought it.
You know the electric drill, I mean? The one in the back of the car, back of your brother's car?
Yes.
You bought it?
Yes.
What make of it?
I didn't look at the make.
You didn't look at the make? No. And, how can you describe it? Tell me what it looked like. Is there anything on it? You can identify it? Price tags or anything else like that?
No, sir.
And how about all these tools?
I told you.
How about the little gray cash box with the checks in it?
Oh, I don't know about that.
I tell you this, Mike. I had no desire. I mean, I'm not worried about you, but I had no desire after seeing your wife cry and come apart at the seams because her child was going down to the juvenile hall and she was going to county jail. I mean, that I don't like that. And I'll do everything I possibly can to get her out, whether you talk or not. But until we can find out some information or get a crime report or some details back, that's where she's going to stay. There's not a thing that I can do or you or anybody else. You're Conway, there's no doubt about that. I'm not playing on your sympathies or anything like that. I'm just telling you. You can take it one way or another. I don't care.
Well, I'm going to stole them tools myself.
You stole the tools yourself? And what was it, a burglary?
Yes.
And where did you steal them?
On the...
And when did you do that?
I'm trying to think. I believe it was about a week ago.
And, were you by yourself when you committed this burglary?
Yes.
Neither one of the other two brothers were with you?
No, sir.
How did you enter the place?
I went through the back door.
Did you use a tool to break the door?
I used a brick to break the glass like that.
You broke the glass with a brick. Well, when did you put the things in your brother's car?
Last night. I told him I was going to bring them down here and sell them.
Down where to sell them?
In Los Angeles.
And the checks? Where were the checks?
Checks was on the drawer.
In the drawer of the desk?
I mean, I got a regular checkbook, payroll checkbook.
Out of the desk?
Out of the desk.
And,
checks.
How many checks have you passed of those checks?
Four.
Four so far? How much? What's the amount you made them out in?
$77 a piece.
Each one was $77? You passed all those already?
Yes.
And where did you pass those checks?
At Lancaster.
All in Lancaster area?
That's about it. Come on, fella. You want to go with us? Well, this is one time betting on a hunch paid off.
What you have just heard is real. The investigations were recorded as they actually occurred. And now back to police headquarters and Chief W.N. Hildebrand.
The first voice heard on night watch was a woman booked on assault with a deadly weapon.
The maximum penalty upon conviction is 10 years in the state prison. The traffic accident, the second case, speaks for itself. Tonight's final investigation of the three burglary suspects, oddly enough, is very important to you, the average citizen. Detective Unit 5-6 stopped this car because of excessive speed and a hunch. Normally, plainclothes units do not work traffic, but good police work is based on observation and an intangible something called hunch. Of course, sometimes it pays off and sometimes it doesn't, but it does show some of the things that turn up during routine checks. My point is this. When police officers stop a car for speed or some minor violation, they have no idea who is in that car. Is it stolen? Was it used in a robbery? Or is it just a good, solid citizen, a little careless? You know who you are and what you have done. The police officer doesn't. He has to approach with caution and act with suspicion until he establishes who you are. I hope tonight's final investigation will give you a bit more insight into one of the problems facing your law enforcement officers. If we can help bring about this understanding, then we have a meaning for Night Watch.
Thank you, Chief Hildebrand. You have been following the on-the-scene reports of your police force in action. Every voice, every sound has been real. Night Watch, brought to you through the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, is produced by Sterling Tracy and Jim Headlock, with technical advice by Sergeant Ron Perkins, and described in the field by the official police recorder, Don Reed.